All right, good evening. Okay, we'll try it again. Good evening. Man, that wasn't much better at all. I'm not going to try it a third time. No more. That's two strikes and I'm out right there. So if you got your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we'll be looking at verses 7 through 10 tonight. We'll be focusing our attention mainly on these four verses as we finish out our series on sickness and healing. And I think in God's providence that this series, I've mentioned it to several of you, that in God's providence and in His perfect timing, He has given us this series exactly when we need it as a church. I initially thought we'd be talking about this and it'd be good for us globally as we got the COVID pandemic that's still going on. And then it turned out that we'd be facing a lot of different sicknesses in our church right now. And I was talking to somebody yesterday. We're overwhelmed on our prayer list of people going through different things and facing different sicknesses. So this is how God does. God is very gracious in giving us exactly what we need when we need it. I didn't plan it this way. You can't plan that, to be going through a series at exactly the time when the church would need it. So this is good for us, and we're going to finish it out tonight. And the question for tonight, we saved the hardest one for last. And I think all these questions have been hard questions on sickness and healing, but I think this is the hardest question. This is the one that nobody wants to tackle. This is the one that even when you read books, they don't tackle this question. This is the one when you go to these churches that are trying to heal people, they don't have an answer for this. But we want to get an answer tonight. And the question is, what do we do when God chooses not to heal? So the title of the sermon is, what to do when God chooses not to heal? When God chooses not to heal. And I don't want to combat false views of this. I want to give you comfort in this, so that you'll know what to do when God, and we say when God chooses not to heal, but we can mean when God says no to you in your prayers. How do we respond when God says no? Because God does give us an answer of no sometimes. And we need to learn how to deal with it. So I'm going to read these verses. And we've touched on these verses a couple times in the series, but we're going to really dial in on it tonight. This is when God told Paul no. Paul, a man of great faith. I would say that nobody had faith like Paul. And the faith healers that we hear today, the fake healers, would say if you have enough faith, you can get healed of anything. Well, if anybody had enough faith, it would have been Paul. And God here in this passage tells Paul no. So let's read this. You guys have heard me read it before. I just want to read it to you and get it in front of your eyes here. It says in verse 7, "Unless I should be exalted above measure, through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh." And that word thorn would be, I didn't realize this, but it's a word that means stake. It's not a little briar that you would get in the woods. This is like a stake that would go through somebody's heart, or a stake that went into Jesus's, a nail that went into Jesus's wrists and feet. This is something big and painful. So a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing, that thorn, whatever it was, I besought or prayed to the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, and you can put there in the margin, and I think it's there, no. For my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. So most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am at my weakest, then I am at my strongest. This is a great passage for us when God says no to us. So let's pray together and we'll look at this passage. Father, my prayer is that you would use this to help our people. That's the whole point. I didn't sit in my office this week to come up with a good sermon or to be articulate or for somebody to pat me on the back and say, good job. I didn't do this to combat a lot of false views in our area. Even a healing service this week in Norton and things I heard and seen this week were just outrageous. But I'm not preaching this to combat those things. God, help me to preach this to comfort our people. Because I think for me and for all of us, there's times when you say no. There'll be times when you say no to healing. And we need to know how to deal with it. We need to know in that moment that whatever it is you're giving us is better than the healing that we want. So God, please teach us this tonight, please. This is good for us today. This is good for us tomorrow. This will be good for us the rest of our lives. This is a very needed passage. So help us and help me to teach it and help us to receive it well. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I think without a doubt, every single one of us in this room tonight could say at some point and some time in our life that you have asked God to do something. You've asked God to heal you or to heal somebody you know or love or a family member or a friend or somebody on a prayer list at church. And you've asked God and you've done everything that you know to do. You've asked Him persistently over and over, and you've asked in a way that you think is biblical. You've done everything that you could possibly do, and God has turned around and said no, and He didn't heal the person you asked Him to heal. I think that's the experience of every one of us, that God has told us no. And again, it could be for ourselves. It could be for others. We've prayed. We did everything and the healing didn't come. Personally, I can say that it's happened to me numerous times that I've prayed over people and people in church, and I've went to the hospitals and I've prayed for them and I've prayed over them, and we've begged God to heal them. And at the end of the day, God didn't heal them. The sickness didn't go away. And I've prayed over people on their deathbed, and we've begged and we've beseeched God, and we've pleaded with God, please let them live. And we've joined hands and we've gathered around the person. We say, God, be gracious to us and give us more time with this person. Heal their body from the sickness that they're facing. And at the end of the day, they died. God said no. We've all experienced it. We've all went through it. And when we go through those things, we have to ask the question, well, what happened? Was that something I did wrong? Was it something they did wrong? Was it something that God said He wasn't listening, or He didn't care, or I didn't have enough faith, or what was going on? What happened here that God told me no? And you're going to get that in life. You're going to get told no by God. They say that God always answers prayers. It's either yes, no, or later. But you're going to get a no. Everybody's going to get a no at some point. And we need to know why God didn't answer. What happened that God said no in this moment? And I think that's exactly what we're going to learn here in 2 Corinthians. We have an answer of why God told Paul no. And I think it's an answer for us when God tells us no. It may not be specific to our case, but I do think that there will be times that this is right here is going to apply to us. That what Paul's facing, we're going to face. And what Paul gets, we're going to get. And how Paul responds, we're going to have to respond. So in 2 Corinthians 12, you're deep into 2 Corinthians, so I don't have time to give you the full context of what's going on here. But I can tell you that in 2 Corinthians, Paul is facing a lot. If you read just over in chapter 11, look at what he's going through in verse 23. Or what he's been through. He says, are there ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more. In labors, more abundant. In stripes, above measure. In prisons, more frequent. In deaths, facing death often. Of the Jews, 5 times received I 40 stripes, save one. 3 times was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I've been in the deep. In journeyings all the time. In perils of waters. In perils of robbers. In perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren. He goes on, in weariness and in pain, in watchings often, hungry and thirsty and fasting, in cold and nakedness. This guy faced more than any of us could ever imagine. And he said, that's not even the worst of it. Beside that, he says in verse 28, beside the things that hit me from without, you can't even imagine the things that hit me on a daily basis just in caring for the church. Paul's facing a lot. He's under a lot of pressure and persecution and pain. And here in these verses we're talking about tonight, it's not so much what's going on the outside or even the inside. He's got something going on that's attacking his flesh. He's got a thorn in the flesh. And he says it repeatedly in these 4 verses that he is weak. He's at his weakest, lowest point. And Paul goes to God, and we'll talk about that. And he prays, and he doesn't get the answer he wants. He doesn't get the answer he asked for. Paul doesn't get the divine intervention that he so desperately needs. But instead of healing, Paul gets something in its place. Instead of healing, he gets grace. Amen. And I think this is better than the healing. I think grace is exactly what God's going to give every single one of us, so that instead of the healing or the answer that we get, God's going to give us grace to get through whatever it is we're facing. So we need to see that tonight. This grace. This is how Paul dealt with unanswered prayer. This is how Paul dealt with his no. This is how we must deal with every no that God gives us. Every time there's a no to healing, there's a no to extending life, there's a no to whatever it is, we're going to have to turn to God's grace to get us through. This is what we do when God says no. And I think this is a great passage. John MacArthur called it a hidden jewel of Scripture. And I think it is. So let me show you when God chooses not to heal. Number one, I want to show you in verse 7 the pain that Paul faced. The pain. And he says there was given unto me. I want to start in the middle of the verse. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh. And you've got to focus there on that word. There was given to me, which means it was a gift to me. And the gift was given to him. And that's what the word is. There was given to me. There was handed over to me. And this was given by God. That God gave him this thorn in the flesh. In his body. This stake. This spear. This piercing into his flesh. Whatever it was piercing into him. It was hurting him deeply. And God gave him that. And then it says, not only did God give it to me, but Satan buffeted me. You see that down there at the bottom of verse 7? A messenger of Satan to buffet me. Some people say it was a person that was a demonic attack on Paul through a person. They say it was a disease. Could have been malaria, an eye problem, seizures, migraines. We don't really know what this thorn was that God had given him, and it allowed Satan to buffet him with it. But he's suffering here with great torment. We don't know what he was facing. I think God leaves it open to us so that we can put our own selves in there. And say, whatever it is, the thorn in your flesh, or the thorn in your flesh, or whatever it may be, we all, at some point in life, will have this thorn that will buffet us. And that word buffet is important. It's a word that means to torment me. Whatever this is tormenting him. It means to physically abuse. It's a word that means almost a punch. It was bad. It reminds us of what Job was going through. And it could be how you felt in your life. That whatever it is you're facing, this thorn that's going on in your life, is tormenting you. It's torturing you. It's so painful that it's the first thing you think about when you get up in the morning. It's the last thing you think about when you go to bed at night. When you wake up in the middle of the night, it's the first thing that pops in your head. This thing is torturing me. Whatever it was in Paul's life, it was torturing him. And what was the reason he had it? There's a reason here. He says it actually twice. We know God gave it to him. Sometimes it's God's plan in our lives to have sickness and pain. So God gave it to him. God allowed it. God let Satan torture him with this. And why did he do it? And he says it here twice. Lest I should be exalted above measure. And at the end of verse 7, lest I should be exalted above measure. There's the reason why he's facing this pain. There's the reason he's facing this sickness, so that he wouldn't be so puffed up. So that he wouldn't think he was better than he actually was. Paul had 4 experiences with Christ himself, and he could have easily been puffed up and thought he was just something else. So God gave him this thorn in the flesh to keep him, and here's the key word in this, to keep him humble. To bring him to his knees. Sometimes when God gives us sickness and tells us no, the purpose is humility. That in this moment, Paul's humility was more important than Paul's healing. The purpose of Paul's pain was humility. God has priorities. He knows that God needed to be humbled more than Paul needed to be healed. So God will use sickness to humble us. He'll use sickness to bring us to our knees. He'll use sickness to keep us from counting and relying and being dependent upon ourselves. God doesn't want us self-sufficient. He wants us to be God-sufficient. So He'll use things in our life to bring us to our knees so that we're looking up and sufficient in God and not in ourselves. Amen. So He humbled Paul and said no to him so He could humble him. He wants humility. The number one Christian virtue is humility. Think of Moses. I think it's in Numbers 12 that said that he was the most humble man in all the land. You can think of Christ, who was humble in Philippians chapter 2, or Peter in Luke 22, that Jesus looked at him and said, Satan desires to sift you as wheat, and I'm going to let him. Because Peter could have easily been exalted, but he needed to be humbled. So Jesus let him. So God will use sickness. God will tell us no. God will choose not to heal us so He can humble us. That's the sickness. Let me move to point number two. That's the pain that He's facing. Let me show you the prayer that He prays. God will use the sickness not only to humble us, but He'll use the sickness to get us to pray. Let me show you this. Because He says here in His prayer in verse 8, He says, "For this thing," and we could go right back to the thorn in the flesh. This thing is that thorn. This is the pain. This is the suffering. This is whatever it is that He's going through for this thing. So He got on His knees and He besought the Lord. And that word besought means He entreated, He called on, He begged, He beseeched, He gave everything that He had. He's praying with all of His heart. He's praying with great fervency and persistence. It said He prayed three times. So He's going on and on and on. This is a continual a knocking, a begging, a doing everything He can to get an answer from God. He is doing everything in His power. Please, God, take this away from me. He didn't go to a healing service. He didn't line up. He didn't get knocked down. He didn't get somebody knocking him over with a coat. He got down on his knees and begged God, "Please take this away from me. Please heal me." Because that's what sickness and suffering should do, is it should bring us to our knees. People who never pray, pray when they get sick. People who never go to church when they get sick. People who never think about God, all of a sudden start thinking about God when they get sick. People who can't stand the preacher love the preacher when they get sick. I need that guy to pray for me. I'm going to call upon Him. I need the church now. I need God. I got to go to our knees. So God will tell you no to humble you to get you to pray. And it's not just to pray. It's to pray with fervency. We don't live like this. I mean, if every day was a sunshine day, we would never pray with great passion. Sometimes God needs to give us a thorn in the flesh so that we'll really start to pray. Sometimes you get a season of sickness and a season of death in a church so that your church will be reminded, we need God. Where else could I go? Sometimes we need to be driven to our knees. So sometimes God says no just to get us to pray. I think we can do that as individuals. Sometimes we need that. And I pray it all the time. God, let me not be so stubborn that I need something bad in my life, like a thorn, to get me to call out to You. It can happen to me. I pray better when I'm in pain than any other time. I pray better when something's going on than when nothing's going on. And you do too. Every one of us do. There's fasting and there's praying when things get intense. You would think that as a nation, as God, I believe, is trying to bring us to our knees, amen, and we're not praying. How much further does He have to take us? But He uses us. He humbles us. He gets us to pray. He gets us where there's nowhere else to go. In our deepest pain, where we say again, where else could I go? So He went, and it says three times, not just once, repeatedly. Please take this away from me. I like that. Depart from me. I don't want this thorn anymore. Whatever it was, it could have been eyesight. It could have been, I don't know what it was. It could have been a person. I read that several times this week. That was somebody in his life that was just right on his heels all the time. And he said, depart from me. Take it away. There's a level of desperation in this. Pouring his heart out to God, seeking God. And again, we don't do this all the time. But sickness will drive us to seek God in ways that we've never sought God before. So sometimes it's good for us to say no, for God to say no. Because it humbles us, which is exactly where we need to be. And it gets us to pray in a deeper way than we've ever prayed before. So he prays. And he prayed three times. And then he stops. You say, why did he stop after three? Because he got his answer. Amen. Once he got his answer, there's no more need to pray. He said, I just prayed three times and God gave me an answer. And that's the third point. He gets the promise. We go from the pain that he faced, the prayer that he prayed, and now the promise that he got. Here's the promise that he gets. And I don't know how it went about, but it said in verse 9, and he said unto me, here's the answer. Don't you wish sometimes that God would give you an answer like this? And he said to me, who's the he? It's verse 8, the Lord. I besought the Lord, verse 9, and He, I talked to God, and He said this back to me. And I'm not sure how He gave an answer, but Jesus gives an answer, and in my Bible, the answer is in red. These are the words of Christ. Maybe one of the revelations that He had. Jesus said, here you go, here's your answer. And the answer is no. No for healing. You're not getting it. Not taking it away. God doesn't give you what He asked for. God's going to give you something even better. God knows what He's doing. Luke 11, verses 11 through 13. I love that. It says, talking about our Heavenly Father. It says, you fathers being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children. If your children ask for a piece of bread, you're not going to give them a stone. If they ask for a fish, you're not going to give them a serpent. If they ask for an egg, you're not going to give them a scorpion. So you know that our Father in heaven knows exactly what He needs to give you. So if He's saying no to healing and yes to something else, then that something else is exactly what we need. So He says no for healing and yes for help. I would write that down. God says, no, I'm not going to heal you, but yes, I will help you. I'm not going to heal you and it'll be gone, but I will help you to get through whatever it is that he was facing. I'm going to give you, and here's the answer. He gives something that is so much better than healing. He gives him grace. Look what he says. I'm not going to give you healing. My grace is better than healing. I'm going to give you grace. I'm not going to remove your pain. I'm not going to take the problem away. I'm not going to remove the trouble. But I will give you grace. And grace is greater than healing. Grace is better. You might not think so, and it might not sound like it, but that's because we don't really know what grace is, because we think healing is better than grace. Watch what grace is. And I'm just going to define it. You guys have heard me say this before, but the definition of grace is God's favor in our life. Or God's kindness in our life. And I think in this situation, I think in all situations, that God's favor is greater than God's healing. That having God's kindness and His hand upon us by His grace is better than healing in a moment. Grace is God doing for me what I can't do for myself. You could call it saving grace. That God did something in salvation for me that I could not do for myself. That's salvation grace. That is that I could not do what anything. The only thing I bring to salvation is the sin that made it necessary. So I from start to finish, it's all of grace that God is doing for me and saving me, something that I could never do for myself. And I can go down the list. Grace paid for my sins. Grace opened my eyes. Grace changed my heart. Grace helped me to understand the gospel. Grace gave me the faith to believe. Grace helped me to repent of my sin. Grace helped me all along the way in salvation because I couldn't do it for myself. Salvation is all of the grace of God. You're saved by grace through faith. It's all of grace. God doing for me what I couldn't do for myself. That's what grace is. We want grace. And then there's strengthening grace. That's what this is. This isn't saving grace. This is strengthening grace. Because he says, my grace is sufficient for thee. For my strength, that's what this grace is. It's strength. My strength is made perfect in weakness. I'm going to do for you in this weakness of yours what you could never do for yourself. I'm going to help you through it. Just when you think you can't put another foot in front of the other, I'm going to give you the strength to do it. Just when you think you can't face another day, I'm going to give you the strength to do it. And it's all of grace. Every day, every moment, every second, everything that you think you can't do on your own, I'm going to give you grace to get through it. That's what He promises. We look at it and say, that's impossible. I can't do that. And God gives you grace to get through it. Let me give you this. How many times have you seen people go through things and you say, I have no idea how they get through it. I'd never make it. I'd never make it. There's no way I could do that. And I say it all the time. I see people facing sickness and I say, there's no way that I could go through that. I'm so weak. And they say, I didn't think I could either, but God's grace has strengthened me through it all. You see people on their deathbed and they're dying. It's so different to watch somebody dying who's saved versus somebody dying who's not. Right. Dying without grace is one of the most miserable things you'll ever watch. And I've watched it. But somebody dying with grace, God gives them strength to take that last and final breath on earth.
Amen.
Strengthening grace. Dying grace. And that grace, it says here, is sufficient. Did you see that? My grace is sufficient. I like that. It's everything that you'll need. God doesn't skimp on grace. Every time you need it. You ever go to the ATM and put your card in and it tells you your balance? And sometimes you put your card in and it's not enough. And you take your card out and go, okay, next time, we'll see about next time. We need more money in the bank. Sometimes you go in there and there is money in there. Yeah, I can get that out. Sometimes you go and there's none or a little. Sometimes you go and there's not always a lot, but sometimes there's some in there. Every time you go to God, there is sufficient grace to get you through whatever it is you're going through.
Amen.
He may not heal you, but He's giving you grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace. The Bible speaks of grace and it says the abundant grace of God, the riches of the grace of God, the greater grace of God, the surpassing grace of God, the riches of the grace of God. And there's a verse that says, and it's grace upon grace upon grace upon grace upon grace, multiplied grace that God just keeps pouring out to help you get through whatever it is that you're going through. You can take this promise that He gave Paul and you can say, whatever it is I face tomorrow, I'll have the grace to get through it.
Amen.
That's good. When we pray, we go to the throne of grace.
Yeah.
I like that. You can take your, I wrote this down, you can take your thorn to the throne and get grace.
Yeah.
Whatever your thorn is, you can take it to the throne and you'll receive grace. I'm going to read that verse to you just because it's good. Hebrews chapter 4. When you pray, you're going to the throne of grace. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. So when God says no, sometimes He just says, here's grace. Here's what you need. And God doesn't skimp. There's no shortage. He never runs out.
Amen.
John MacArthur said, whatever you think grace is, and I probably didn't do a good job of explaining it, but John MacArthur says, whatever you think grace is, it's better than you think it is.
Yeah.
And he goes on to say, whatever you need, grace is greater than your need.
Right.
He's going to get you through it. So instead of healing, Paul got more than enough grace to carry him through. So that when I'm at my weakest, God is at His strongest by giving us grace. So God's strength is made perfect in our weakness. Last point, and I'll close. Paul's pleasure in pain. The pleasure. You say, well, how can you do this? Well, watch how it turns. We go from him suffering, the pain. Then we go to his prayer where he begs God three times. And he's told no, but then he's given grace. And now at the end of the passage, he's gone from pain into pleasure. He's gone from sadness to joy. Look at what he says in verse 9. And he said, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So, or therefore, you see that it's therefore, most gladly. There's joy. Verse 10, therefore, same word, I take pleasure. It's almost like he's saying now, I praise God for my thorn. There's joy in having this thorn. I'm rejoicing in this pain. I'm embracing it. I'm saying, okay, God's told me no. God's given me this. So I'm just going to rejoice in it. I'm going to face it with a smile on my face. I'm going to face it with joy. Not that you enjoy it, but I'm going to go through it with joy. I'm glorying in my infirmities. Why? That the power of Christ may... Most gladly, therefore, will I glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. And then he says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. When I'm at my weakest, Christ will make me strong. When I'm at my weakest, Christ is working in me to make me stronger than I've ever been before. I have more grace than I've ever had before. Paul understood that we are at our strongest when we are totally reliant upon the grace of God.
Amen.
We are at our weakest when we are totally reliant upon ourselves. And we are at our strongest when we're totally reliant upon God. So you get that. In our bad days, when everything is terrible and we're sick and we're suffering and everything's a trial and a tribulation and trouble and God's pouring out His grace on us and we're at our lowest, that's when we're really at our strongest. That's when God is lifting us up and taking care of us and helping us through it all. But it's when we think we're on top of the mountain that we are actually at our weakest. I think we live in a self-sufficient society, which makes us a weak society. We are a better society or a country when we are God-dependent, more so than when we're self-dependent.
Amen.
So Paul glories in it. Paul takes pleasure in it because he knew that God's strength would carry him through whatever it is he was facing. Let me read you a couple, one passage. You guys can turn there if you want to, if you can find it. It took me a while this week to find it. I remembered the passage, Lamentations. Lamentations chapter 3. I want to read this to you. You don't have to turn this. Right before Ezekiel, right after Jeremiah. It's a long passage, but I've got maybe a minute here to read it to you. I read it this week and I thought, this is exactly what we need to hear. I'm going to read, starting in verse 1, it says, I am the man that hath seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And he's talking about what God's doing to him. Lamentations 3:1. He hath led me and brought me into darkness, but not into the light. Surely against me is he turned. He turneth his hand against me all the day. My flesh and my skin hath he made old. He hath broken my bones. Talking about what God's done to him. He hath builded against me and compassed me with gall and travail. He hath set me in dark places, as that be dead of old. He hath hedged me about that I cannot get out. He hath made my chain heavy. Also when I cry and shout, he shuts out my prayer. He hath enclosed my ways and with hewn stone. He hath made my paths crooked. He was unto me as a bear lying in the wait, and as a lion in secret places. He hath turned aside my ways and pulled me in pieces. He's made me desolate. He hath bent his bow and set me as a mark for the arrow. He hath caused the arrows of his quiver to enter into my reins. I was a derision to all my people and their song all the day. He hath filled me with bitterness. He hath made me drunken with wormwood. He also hath broken my teeth with gravel, stones. He's covered me with ashes. Thou hast removed my soul far from peace. I forgot prosperity. And I said, my strength and my hope is perished from the Lord. This guy's as low as anybody I've ever heard. Verse 19. Remembering mine affliction and my misery, the wormwood and the gall, my soul hath them still in remembrance, and it humbled in me. This I recall in my mind, therefore have I hope. That it is of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. And it's because of His compassions that we fail not. They are new every morning. And great is His faithfulness.
Amen.
That in the midst of all that, He's saying God's mercy, His grace, and His faithfulness will still get me through. And they'll be brand new for me every single morning. He knew the same thing that Paul knew. He knew the same thing that Newton knew when he wrote Amazing Grace, which we know Amazing Grace. And I'll close with this. We all know the first verse that says, the amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. We know that. We know the salvation grace. But we need to know the third verse that says, through many dangers, toils, and snares, I have already come. 'Tis grace hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. He knew exactly what we all need to know. That it's God's grace that saves us, and it's God's grace that'll get us all the way through whatever it is that we're facing.
Amen.
Even when God tells us no.
Yeah.
So that's what we do when God chooses not to heal. We trust in His grace to get us through whatever it is we're facing. And that's a promise. He will. His grace is sufficient for Paul and for every single one of us.
Yeah.
When you go to the ATM for grace tomorrow, it'll, every time you go to the throne of grace, it'll be sufficient funds, grace to get you through.
Yeah.
Let's pray. Father, we thank You for Your Word, for the comfort of Your Word, and the grace that You give. And God, I pray that it was a comfort to your people tonight. That was my prayer. I hope that none of us have to go through this anytime soon. I hope that we don't have to face it. I hope that we don't have to deal with the pain and the suffering of life and the thorns in the flesh. But God, if we do, we need to know that we have a God who has sufficient grace to get us through whatever it is we face. So God, help us to understand that, to be reliant upon that. Help us not to be self-sufficient where we rely on ourselves. It's a dangerous place to be. It's a weak place to be. But God, help us to be sufficient in you, dependent upon you, every single day in every single way, please. And we ask and pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.